This is Finding Christ in Cinema. You have my permission to listen.
On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we take the fishhook to the nearest island goddess as we look for Christian themes in Disney's Moana. What can we learn from Moana's people forgetting who they are? What can we as Christians do about it? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in, admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 136. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, the plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
I am still thinking about the last episode. What did we talk about?
We talked about the BFG.
With FCC's very own Mark Rylance.
Yes.
What an excellent film. I feel that that's a little bit of a sleeper hit.
I think so.
I don't think enough people are talking about that.
I do agree with you. I don't think it's getting the attention it deserves. It is a good story, beautifully done.
Yeah, yeah.
And hey, as we talked about last week, has some good points in it.
Jam-packed with Christian themes.
Of course.
Hey, did you have any addendums or afterthoughts? Oh, and another thing?
No, not me.
Me neither.
Okay,
that movie spoke for itself. And we'll get some feedback later on in the show here about some other listeners' views on this great film. But if you have not watched the BFG, The Big Friendly Giant, it's on Netflix right now. So you can watch that streaming and then get over to ChristInCinema.com and listen to 135 of Finding Christ in Cinema. But Brendan, today, another animated film. What are we talking about?
We are talking about Disney's Moana.
A great film.
Yes.
You want to go to the theater?
Yeah.
For generations, this peaceful island has been home to our family. But beyond our reef, a great danger is coming. Legend tells of a hero who will journey to find the demigod Maui. And together, they will save us all.
Lue, 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 lue.
Mili, 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 mili.
Maui!
A boat! A boat!
Demigod of the wind and sea, I am
hero of men.
What?
It's actually Maui, shapeshifter, demigod of the wind and sea, hero of men. I interrupted from the top. Hero of men. Go. I'm not going on a mission with some little girl.
This is my canoe, and you will journey to different.
Did not see that coming.
The ocean is a friend of mine.
First, we've got to go through a whole ocean of bad. Kakamora.
Kaka what? They're kind of cute.
Moana! I got your back.
It's Maui time!
Really? Blow dart in my butt cheek.
We're going to the realm of monsters?
Don't worry. It's a lot farther down than it looks.
A beautiful film, Brendan. What did you think when you saw it on the big screen there with your box of Junior Mints and whatever you drink and stuff.
Michael, I hate to say it. I didn't see this one when it was in theaters.
You go to the theater like every day.
I know. And I didn't see this one. I didn't feel compelled to see it.
You know what? I didn't either.
Okay, good.
Why?
At least I'm not alone on my little sailboat.
Why were we? Did we not feel compelled?
I don't know. I think at the time we were still wrestling with movies like Inside Out. We were still gushing over them. I think deep down we both knew, man, I can't take another powerful story, beautiful story well told.
I like your answer a lot better than what I would say. We just flat out discounted it.
Yeah.
Well, So what did you think when you watched it for the show?
I really regret not seeing it in theater.
Yeah.
I think it's that immersive, that just really cool, vibrant.
Gorgeous
animation.
Yeah.
And see, and that kind of ties back into my point about the BFG last week. There are just some things that are exclusive to the medium of digital animation.
Yes. Yes.
And not just 3D, but 2D also. Just animation, it brings to life the story in a different way. And it's,
well, bringing it to life is really that's the key term right there.
Sure. Yeah.
This movie is alive. I mean, the hair and how everything moves and interacts,
that,
and
that silky hair.
And the the texture of skin,
yeah,
and amazing technologically.
Yes.
What about story wise?
Oh, the story's there. It's a good Polynesian folk tale. One might even say origin story.
Oh yeah,
It definitely has.
There's a creation account in it. And
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's just cool. It's cool. At least I thought it was cool in this story. To show how story affects those characters, because they base their whole livelihood on the story of the islands and Te Fiti and the lava monster. I can never remember how to say
Teka.
Teka. Yeah. It just sounds nasty.
Yes.
It sounds angry.
Yes.
Teka.
Well, what you're saying about story, that is what binds their culture together.
Mm-hmm.
Is these stories.
And then of course we see the ill effects of what happens when you deny that story and when you forget that story.
Yeah.
Which you'll get to.
There is a forward there
later on. You know what I mean?
I do. Really what you just said is so jam packed. Mm-hmm. We can unpack that for an entire hour here on the show. But, what stood out to you specifically? Or pacifically.
Oh, my goodness.
Do I even have that
anymore? Where's it at? Where's it at? There you go.
So, pacifically speaking, what stood out to you, Brendan Taylor?
Oh, man. What stood out to me was the quickness of it, the humor, the quickness of the humor, the quickness of the pacing of the story. It's very, at times, it's very fast-paced. But then when you're out there on the ocean with Maui, you're getting... The whole relationship dynamic between Moana and Maui, I guess, really sets the tone for the movie. And that's what I like to focus on, because you see, you've got this demigod figure who we as Americans might associate as good and kind-hearted and sympathetic, whereas in reality, the Maui that we see in this story is kind of selfish, kind of arrogant. Kind of like the Greek and Roman gods and goddesses.
He's wanting to protect his reputation. He's wanting to...
Self-serving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you...
Looking out for number one!
Now, last episode, you pointed out clearly that I don't actually listen to any of the words that you were saying on the show. Did you use the term coming-of-age story when describing this? This is a coming-of-age story.
Would I or did I?
Both.
I did not.
Oh, good.
Okay.
I was paying attention.
I don't know if I would or not. I can definitely see how it could be.
Yeah.
Because Moana herself, she has to wrestle with growing up either under the pressures of her father or growing up in the way that we're shown that she's meant to grow up as the savior
what
of her
people. What she's called to.
What she's called to, yeah.
Her calling.
So, I don't know.
All right. Well, that's something to ponder.
That is something to ponder.
Maybe we can toss that out to the listeners, and if they have a strong opinion about that. So many things to talk about, but we got to do some shout-outs.
We do. Welcome, first of all, welcome to the menagerie. Owlie?
Just say Owlie.
Owlie. Okay, that's what she goes by. Owlie Carvalho.
Yes.
I guess. As Moana.
Oh, my goodness.
As Moana. And after Disney set out a global audition.
She was the last one.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Somebody said, wait a second. I remember a tape. And they played it for them. And they said, let's see this young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And when she came in, and when she sang, her big song in this?
How Far I'll Go.
Oh, good. They said, that's it. That's it. We have her. She has no background in in movies.
No.
Voiceover acting. Nothing. And she carried this film on her little 16-year-old shoulders.
Right.
A fantastic actress.
Yes.
Beautiful voice. You know, obviously they based the character on how she looks and moves and and behaves and all those things. What did you like about her? I mean, of course we would throw out the word endearing, right?
Of course, yeah. She, it's easy for the audience to identify with her. Not just through the character, but the way, like even just her simple mannerisms of voice, which in the film come through, like the way she moves her hands, the way her character moves her hands, there's that connection between the voice and the movement on screen, which is a credit to the animators as well as a credit to Owlie.
Right.
So it's very cool to watch.
And you pointing out that the audience can relate to her, that's an important Christian message in and of itself. We need to relate to people.
Well, it's a thing called sympathy.
Yes, it is.
It's a thing called empathy. Compassion.
Yes.
You know, oh, sorry, there went one of the beans that I almost spilled.
Oh, no!
Man, okay. Hey, welcome to the menagerie, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. As the demigod Maui. Man, I'm so happy.
Oh, I am too.
I'm so happy. I don't know if you knew this or not, but he is the most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
I didn't know that. How would one know that?
Professional wrestling.
No, The Rock is after my time.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
No.
Okay.
Why, is that another thing?
Yes. If you smell what The Rock...
When I was a youngster, I loved WWF is what it was at that time, Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
Mm-hmm.
But The Rock is past my time. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm of the time Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Andre the Big Friendly Giant?
Randy Macho Man Savage.
Oh, yeah.
He puts a little...
Yeah.
What did he put on his shoulder? Was it a little remember. like a little cream
container
or something? Or a battery or something? I don't know.
No, it was the cream of the crop rises to the top. Yeah.
A little coffee creamer, little single serving.
Oh, man.
Okay, but back to The Rock here. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Johnson. What did he bring? All of it.
He brought it.
He brought it.
And in fact, just a little trivia about Dwayne Johnson. This is from IMDb. The Internet Movie Database.
Yes.
Dwayne Johnson is a firm believer that voice acting is the most difficult career in acting and is personally annoyed by celebrities being cast in animated films despite their bad delivery in voicing their characters. When Johnson was cast for this film, he repeatedly asked the other voice actors present if he was indeed giving a good performance.
So he was concerned.
He was
about
concerned.
Bringing it.
Yeah, he wanted to make sure.
I'm The Rock. I need to bring it. People expect me to bring it. Am I bringing it?
Well, not only the people's expectations, but his own expectations
right.
and his own view of the standard.
Because why? Why does he have that standard? Because he respects his fans,
and he respects the fans, and he respects the craft.
Yes,
and he's not trying to abuse the art form just because he's a big shot celebrity.
Just because he's the most energetic,
the most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
That's good stuff, right there.
That is good stuff, man. You missed out.
his timing and his humor and in the special features of this film. And I encourage everybody, if you have not watched the special features, to do so after you finish listening to Finding Christ in Cinema. Because the things that other people say about Dwayne Johnson in there. And one of them was that song that he sings, his main song, You're Welcome.
You're Welcome.
Yeah, they say only Dwayne Johnson could deliver that song because mm-hmm. anybody else would come across as very, it's an arrogant song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else would be off-putting. But because Dwayne Johnson is the most electrifying man, he has that personality. He has
charisma.
He has a tremendous gift from God.
Yeah.
And that is that he draws people to him. That's what charisma does. He's a people magnet.
That's right.
Right?
That's
and right. And we have him in the menagerie now. Now we can say FCC's very own Dwayne The Rock, the most electrifying man
in sports entertainment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Johnson. Who else?
Welcome to the menagerie, Rachel House.
As
Grandma Tala.
Her voice is so awesome.
So gentle.
Yes.
So soft.
Yes.
But firm when it needs to be.
Yes.
And hey, what else do you need from Grandma?
Oh, wow.
Except love. She's got the love, too.
Oh, and a wise woman. Mm-hmm. She's got the wisdom. The village crazy lady is the one with the wisdom.
That's right. That's right. And one more welcome to the menagerie, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, and who is he?
He's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
And what does he do?
He's the composer.
He do
he
Hamilton.
He do Hamilton. He do music.
Yes.
He do everything.
Yes.
He do everything. And you can actually hear his voice at the end of the film in the finale reprisal of...
When they go back to doing what they're supposed to be doing.
When they go back to being wayfinders.
Yes.
Man, it's funny how they forgot.
Hey, FCC's very own Alan Tudyk.
Oh, man, as Hey-Hey.
As the chicken.
As Hey-Hey, the cross-eyed, dumb as a rock, trying to swallow a rock chicken.
It's so great because in the special features, there's just a short clip of Alan Tudyk. You know, people had been, you know, praising him. We're so lucky to have Alan Tudyk involved and blah, blah, blah. And then it cuts to him, you know, clucking into the microphone. Then he turns to the camera. He says, I graduated from Juilliard. And here I am clucking.
Yep.
He's just, I would say that he is probably one of the world's foremost voice actors alive today. And we've had him live action as Watt.
As Watt.
Watt in A Knight's Tale. Mm-hmm. Pain! He's great.
Oh, man.
But, of course, we've had him in Big Hero 6, and we've had him in Rogue One.
Well, I was about to say, this makes the fifth consecutive Disney animated film, not counting Rogue One, but the fifth Disney animated film that Alan Tudyk is in, Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes. He was the King Candy or whatever. And Alan was channeling the spirit of Ed Wynn. He sounded exactly like Ed Wynn, which most people would know as the Mad Hatter in the 1951 Alice in Wonderland.
Or as the uncle in Mary Poppins.
Well, yes, yes, like, yes. Laughing.
You know, I met a man with a wooden leg named Smith. What was the name of his other leg?
Now, that's one of my all-time favorite films. Why have we not done Mary Poppins? Well, and why do you get me off on rabbit trails?
It's because some of our listeners don't like musicals.
Patron St. Philip.
Oh,
okay.
Got him. Okay, so Wreck-It Ralph, Frozen, Big Hero 6, which we've covered. And Zootopia,
yes,
which we've also covered.
He was the weasel. Doug is the opposite of friendly. He's unfriendly.
Also, check this out. So there's a villager, the guy that's making the fire in the village.
Yes.
He's a villager, so he's in the village, obviously. Who suggests cooking Hey-Hey is also voiced by Alan Tudyk.
Really?
Yeah. That's quite funny.
That's great.
That is hilarious.
What a great film. Anybody else? We got a long way to go in a short time to get there.
Yeah, so let's get started.
Man, listeners, you've all seen
Moana. Oh, wait. What? Whoa, hold the phone. Back it up. Give me a mulligan there, sir.
We got ahead of ourselves.
Jermaine Clement as Tamatoa.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The huge turtle. He is FCC's very own Jermaine Clement. And we didn't give him enough airtime last week when we talked about him as Flesh Lump Eater. In the BFG.
Now, was that the main giant?
That was the main bad giant.
Yeah.
He was the head crony.
Okay.
Yeah. He was.
Delicious little bean.
What is frolic?
Yeah.
you know, frolic.
Oh man. Wait, say his name again. Jermaine.
Jermaine Clement.
Okay. Jermaine.
Jermaine. Jermaine.
It's great because most of the cast, Alan Tudyk is an exception, are Pacific Islanders or of Polynesian descent.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I can't encourage you enough to go and watch the special features as they are talking about how much research went into this film. They wanted this film to be honoring in every way to Pacific Islanders, and they, every step of the way, they checked with them. Hey, check out this early animation. And they would say, no. Like one of them, there's a scene after a confrontation between Moana and her father where she is throwing sticks into the ground, pointed sticks into the ground.
Yeah.
When then her mother comes up. Well, originally they had her knocking coconuts out into the sea. And the people that they consulted with, they said, no, that's food. And nobody would just throw away food like that.
Mm.
Coconuts are very important islanders. And so Disney said, oh, okay, and then went back and redid it and had her thrown in these pointed sticks into the sand where they said it conveys the same emotion of frustration and anger and things like that, but without... You know, one of the ladies that they were talking to, she says, it's not that we hold coconuts as sacred or anything, but that's food, you know? And so that's just an example of what kind of care was taken in order to honor Polynesian folk.
Mm-hmm.
Great film. And it is so jam-packed with Christian themes, Brendan, that I really, for the first time in a long time, I was racking, what am I going to go with? What in the world am I going to go with on this film? And I opted for a message that I think that we need to hear, and I think that we need to hear often. It's one of those things that, well, you can't talk too much about it. And that is, well, let me point out that this is Zootopia, the next level. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Achievement unlocked. We unlocked our achievement on Zootopia. Now we go to the next level.
All right.
You know, Moana, well, we start off the film with her grandmother. We don't know that it's her grandmother. Are you sucking on that sour apple candy?
No, I'm on the watermelon now, and I think I found a pocket of sour apple that didn't get digested or something. Man.
Her grandmother is telling the story. They're legends. They're stories that bind their culture. This is who we are. This is where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our story. And it's a little bit terrifying. And some kids start screaming and crying. But here's this little tiny girl in the front. And she's just soaking this up.
But one day, the heart will be found by someone who will journey beyond our reef, find Maui, deliver him across the great ocean to restore Te Fiti's heart and save us all.
Oh, 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 thank you, Mother. That's enough.
Papa!
No one goes outside the reef. We are safe here. There is no darkness. There are no monsters. There's no monsters, no monsters!
Hey!
No, there is nothing beyond our reef but storms and rough seas!
I gotta throw up!
As long as we stay on our very safe island, we'll be fine.
The legends are true. Someone will have to go.
Mother, Motu Nui is paradise. Who would want to go anywhere else?
So the story is about Maui, one of many stories about Maui, but this is Maui stealing that heart. What, the heart of the island?
Mm-hmm.
Of
the
Te Fiti.
Te Fiti, yeah.
Te Fiti. And then getting in this confrontation with this other thing called Taka. Taka! Oh, anyway, I'll get carried away there a little bit.
Is that a Temple of Doom reference?
I don't know.
It sounded like it.
Regardless, these are the stories that bind us. And, hey, one day... This is going to happen. Somebody, a brave person, is going to go and make all things right. But here comes Dad. Oh, that's enough. That's enough, Mother.
Whoa.
Right? Because Grandma says, one day the heart will be found by someone who will journey beyond the reef. Oh, there's one warning right there. Find Maui, deliver him across the great ocean, and restore Tafiti's heart and save us all. Whoa. Thank you, Mother. Right? Scooch along. You have nothing to see here, kids. That's enough. No one goes outside the reef. We are safe here. That sounds like Mr. and Mrs. Hopps in Bunnyboro in Zootopia. There is no darkness. There are no monsters. No, there is nothing beyond our reef but storms and rough seas. It is it's a dangerous world out there. Here is where safety is. As long as we stay on our very safe island, we'll be fine. And Grandma says, no, the legends are true. Someone will have to go. Mother, Montanui is paradise, right? Paradise, a walled garden. It's what the original meaning of that word is. Who would want to go anywhere else? Little tiny baby Moana. She loves the stories. She loves the stories of the ancestors. And she loves the water. And little baby Moana goes down to the water, right? Her father encourages her to... The same thing that Mr. and Mrs. Hopps were trying to tell Judy Hopps. Bloom where you're planted. We have a safe place here. This is where you should bloom. Nobody goes outside the reef. Well, as time goes on and he is trying to train Moana to take over as chief one day, here comes a lady with a basket of coconuts. It's the harvest, she says. This morning I was husking the coconuts and... They're black inside. Mm-hmm. They're dead inside. Mm-hmm. Moana says, well, we should clear the diseased trees and we'll start a new grove over there. The lady says, thanks, Moana. And then turns to her parents. She's doing great. She's blooming where she's planted. This suits you, her father says. Then another man runs up. Chief, there's something you need to see. Our traps from the East Lagoon, and they're empty. What does Moana say? Oh, well, we'll fish on the far side of the island. We tried, he says. The windward side and the leeward side and the shallows and the channels. We've tried the whole lagoon. They're just gone. Well, have you tried using a different bait, the chief says. I don't think it's the bait, says the fisherman. There are no fish. It seems like it's getting worse and worse. And the chief says, of course, I'll understand. You have reason for concern, and I'll talk to the council. And the story progresses. And when we get on the other side of the break, Brendan, we're going to see what little Moana does with that water, that ocean. So join us on the flip side right here on Finding Christ in Cinema. For more of Finding Christ in Cinema, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. Welcome back to Finding Christ in Cinema, the show where we find Christian themes in your favorite films, Hollywood blockbusters of today and yesterday. Today, Brendan, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Disney's newest animated film, Moana.
It is a great film. It's a gorgeous film, and it is jam-packed with Christian themes. And so far, we are seeing this pattern all the way from Moana's early life, that she loves these legends and these stories that her grandmother's telling her and the other children, these stories that bind their culture, these stories that tell these children who they are and where they came from. Mm-hmm. But her father has a very strict rule, and that is in regard to the reef. In fact, when this fisherman convinces the chief that the fish are just gone, we have a problem, Moana stands up and says, well, what if we fish beyond the reef? Then you hear the needle skip on the record, right? Everything stops. What? No one goes beyond the reef, her father says. I know, but if there are no fish in the lagoon, Moana, and there's a whole ocean out there, but we have one rule. Mm-hmm. An old rule when there were fish, she says. A rule that keeps us safe. But Dad, instead of endangering our people so you can run right back to the water. Every time I think you're past this, shakes his head. No one goes beyond the reef. He's putting his foot down.
Mm-hmm.
We find out why he doesn't like the reef, and that's from Moana's mother. We're not going to discuss that, but we're going to keep focused on Moana and her being drawn to. In fact, the ocean is personified in this film.
Mm-hmm.
The ocean is a person that interacts with her and has chosen her. You know, later on, after this confrontation, she goes back down by the water. She's always drawn to the water. And there's her grandmother, at least knee deep in the water, dancing with the manta rays or whatever kind of rays that these are down there. And she's saying things to her granddaughter in the way that only her grandmother can. And Moana says, why are you acting weird? I'm the village crazy lady. That's my job.
Mm-hmm.
Moana says, if there's something you want to tell me, just tell me. Is there something you want to tell me?
Right.
What does her grandmother say? Is there something you want to hear? You've been told all our people's stories but one. And she leads her to this cave opening with vines or whatever grown over, sweeps those aside to a doorway, and Moana says, what is this place? Do you really think our ancestors stayed within the reef? Asks her grandmother. What's in there? Moana wants to know. The answer to the question you keep asking yourself, who are you meant to be? Go inside, bang the drum, and find out.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brendan, she goes in. This is a great scene inside this giant cave with a waterfall in there and all those boats sitting silently. And she gets on board the deck of one boat, and there's the drum. She bangs that drum, and drumming returns back from someone else. The lights come on. She's able to see stories written on the sails of these boats, and she has a vision of long ago. It's great. You learn in the bonus features how the Polynesian cultures, for 3,000 years, they were traveling from island to island. They would hit, I mean, we're talking like a pebble in the ocean, right? For all intent and purposes, thousands of miles away, and they'd sail straight to it. They'd sail straight to it, and then they could turn around and sail straight back home.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were doing. But for 1,000 years, they stopped. And nobody knows why. This is history. This is real, actual history. And that's where the writers put Moana in. Hey, we can write a neat little legend about why they began again.
Yeah.
So this 1,000-year period of no traveling the oceans. Wow. And that is the vision that she gets, is going back. And she is pumped up about this vision. She runs out to Grandma.
Voyagers. We were voyagers. We were voyagers. We were voyagers. We were voyagers. Why'd we stop?
Maui.
Danger. Something happened. People got scared and they stopped. We're not going out there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going out there anymore. And so as her father is teaching her, boom, where you're planted, everything's right here. Everything that you need is here. It's safe here. Who would want to leave our paradise? He is sounding like the false prophets that God was railing against in Jeremiah. Specifically, one time in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14, out of the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. Again, this is talking about false prophets who were they. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace. But there is no peace. The chief is wanting to stick his head in the sand and say, everything's fine. This is our little paradise. But Grandma knows different.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that this darkness is going to make its way to their island. It already has. In fact, she knows why the coconuts are rotten and why all the fish are gone.
Mm-hmm.
There is no peace. Because the chief is healing the people superficially. Like putting a Band-Aid on a severed limb, you know? Right?
What's it going to do?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. We were voyagers. We were voyagers! Why do we stop? That vision that Moana has is a powerful vision of who her people were. And later on, as we meet Maui and they build their relationship, and Maui, I mean, they're tight now. Maui turns to her and he has a revelation.
What?
I figured it out. You know, the ocean used to love when I pulled up islands. Because your ancestors would sail or seas, find them. All those new lands, new villages. It was the water that connected them all. And if I were the ocean, I think I'd be looking for a curly-haired non-princess to start that again.
Great sound clip. You know, the ocean used to love when I pulled up islands because your ancestors would sail her seas and find them. Find them. The Polynesians saw no difference between land and sea. The ocean was another path to take. Mm-hmm. And you respected that path, but you learn how to navigate. And the Polynesians were the greatest navigators that the world has ever seen. They had no equipment. I mean, save their boat. And what they show in this movie with measuring the stars with their hand and the horizon, that's how they did it.
Yeah.
They could read the clouds, and they were perceptive enough in the daylight to say, that cloud over there, there's a green tint underneath it on the bottom. There's land there. Or it's evening time, the birds are heading back towards land. So if we see seabirds, we're close to land, we need to go to where they're going. And then they could turn around and go back.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing things. You know, it was the water that connected them all. And if I were the ocean, if I were that path, if I were that road, I'd be looking for a curly-haired non-princess to start that again. The water connected them all. The way. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 15 out of the NILT, the New Living Translation. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's great news, Brendan.
Yeah.
Great news, but it goes on.
What?
Well, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. The path is the ocean. The water connects all the peoples, all the lands. It's the water. And they stopped traveling on that water.
Teach me to sail. My job is to deliver Maui across the great ocean. I should be sailing.
It's called wayfinding, princess. It's not just sails and knots. It's seeing where you're going in your mind. Knowing where you are by knowing where you've been.
This movie is all about traveling. It's all about moving. It's going someplace, knowing where you're going because you know where you have been. And her people, for 1,000 years, have forgotten where they're going because they forgot where they have been. They forgot that the water connected them all. But here comes Moana, which means oceans.
That's funny.
No, it's not funny. It means oceans. And now she's going to connect people together because how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. I should be sailing, she says. Well, actually, it's called wayfinding. Mm-hmm. I am the way, mm-hmm. the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Your key text, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, out of the King James Version, the Authorized Version.
The only version.
Go ye, go y'all, he's saying to the disciples, go all y'all, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But Paul says, and how will anybody go and tell them without being sent? Go! That's mm-hmm. a rhetorical question.
Right.
How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Do not bloom where you're planted only. I'm not saying it's not good to bloom where you are. But this gives me a chance real quick, Brendan, to hold up our dear brother in arms, an amazing man of God, a man who heard the call to go, and actually travels the seas to do it. And that's David Gaddy. David Gaddy of our brother, our show, our brothers in Texas, the Theonauts. He takes that call seriously.
Mm-hmm.
He's not content to sit and bloom only where he's planted, because he wants to help other people bloom where they're planted as well, mm-hmm. and therefore he needs to go. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 15 describes, David Gaddy heard that. It says, mm-hmm. I believe it. And by faith, I'm going to go and help the people in Haiti. we have to go, friends. And if you can't leave your circle of influence, then you can still go.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to them. You can't sit in your, maybe if you want to sit on
double-decker couch.
You can't sit on your double-decker couch and go, okay?
Right.
Get up and travel some way. It's the Great Commission. That's what this movie is. Don't forget who you are. Go. Do you have any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
You know, I do.
Oh, good.
You know, I do. And I love the segue. Knowing where you are by knowing where you've been. Michael, in this film, we've got two specific characters that do know where they've been, and they're scared to go back.
Who?
Moana's father, the chief.
Yeah.
And Maui himself.
Oh.
Maui.
The demigod?
The demigod. Yes, wow. Maui himself. As we all know, the tattoos that he has on his body, they are reflective of his experiences.
And they tell his story.
They do. And Tomatoa the turtle, the giant crab, rather, not turtle, crab, he points out one little tattoo on the back of his, on his back. And it's right under his neckline, so it's always covered with hair until he pulls it up. Moana then sees that tattoo for the first time, and after some, comical bickering when they're alone on the sailboat. Yeah. She finally gets the gumption to ask him what it's about.
But one day...
Oh, that's mine.
Hey, now, wait.
Do you want me to play your clip?
Yeah, play my clip.
I wasn't born a demigod. I had human parents. They took one look and decided... They did not want me. They threw me into the sea like I was nothing. Somehow, I was found by the gods. They gave me the hook. They made me Maui. And back to the humans I went. I gave them islands, fire, coconuts, anything they could ever want.
I gave them anything they could ever want. But Michael, what's the tonality of his voice? You hear sadness, regret.
Hurt.
You hear hurt. The same hurt that we learn of Moana's father and the tragedy that he beheld at sea when he lost his friend. Again, we hear that whole spiel from Moana's mother as she finally tells him. Michael, when we are going out, we encounter people with this hurt. And it is up to us to heal that hurt. And that level of hurt. Not just minister to physical needs. That is very important. That is what we're called to do. In addition to healing the spirit. As Christ for the Jews, so us to the world.
Amen.
Moana starts to realize what's going on.
We were voyagers.
Oh, what? That's mine too.
Michael!
I'm sorry. You're usually up there on top. I'll play your clip.
You took the heart for them. You did everything for them. So they'd love you.
It was never enough.
It was never enough. And actually, this was a mistake on my end, but I think it still fits.
I was never enough.
You can just hear how badly Maui is broken.
He wants relationship.
He wants relationship.
Going back to the BFG.
Michael, I was getting there.
Hey, hype my... Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I should stop.
Neural handshake.
Yes.
We're in the drift. Yes. Drift compatible.
Going back to Pacific Rim.
That's right.
Like episode 55 or something.
Yeah. Moana. I think 51.
Somewhere in the 50s.
Somewhere.
Years ago.
Moana has literally... Has
when I
compassion.
Used to play the correct clips.
Moana has compassion on Maui. And... She is then able to soften his heart even more by speaking words of encouragement.
Maybe the gods found you for a reason. Maybe the ocean brought you to them because it saw someone who is worthy of being saved. But the gods aren't the ones who make you Maui. You are.
Maybe the ocean brought you to them because it saw someone who was worthy of being saved. And as soon as she says the word worthy, two important things happen.
Which is like, let's compound that word. Worth. You have value.
You do have value. You are enough. You are more than enough. He says, it was never enough. I was never enough. You are. She says, maybe the ocean brought you to the gods because it saw someone who was worthy of being saved. And what happens in that moment, Maui perks up.
Yes.
And you can see that spark rejuvenate within him, and you can hear it through that beautiful musical cue.
Everybody needs compassion.
Bubba, stop. You're going to get me going. It takes compassion, and only with compassion in the context of a relationship with the people that you are trying to disciple, minister, save, whatever you want to call it, rescue. That's what it is. We're trying to rescue.
Amen.
But it takes relationship and it takes compassion. So just a closing thought from Colossians 3:12-13. This time, see, Michael went to the NLT, which is my usual translation.
We flip-flopped.
I'm going to the NASB.
Which is my usual translation.
Was it the
New American Standard Bible?
I always want to say North American Standard. I know, that's wrong.
It's new.
So he says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so should you also. Mm. Michael, the relationship between Moana and Maui, it got prickly.
Yeah.
It did. It did.
And human relationships.
Exactly. Even for a demigod like Maui.
Yep.
Human relationships.
Yep.
But it takes that relationship of forgiving each other, bearing with one another, bearing the tragedies of the past, of each other's past, help carrying each other through those things via compassion, via relationship.
So I'm having a vision, Brendan. We just beat the drum for our own ancestors, our own past, our own story. And I can see back to the first century when the church, in its infancy, living under great persecution and we're being forced out into all the world by taking whatever paths they could, whatever roads that they could, and all along the way they are taking the good news, and so they have beautiful feet, as Paul would say. But then Paul would encourage them, have compassion on one another, forgive one another, forgive, lift up, build up. And what happened? What happened? The church spread through the entire known world in that first century.
What if it hadn't? Would it eventually?
No.
Oh, no.
Because that's our culture, and we need to go back to that culture. Mm-hmm. And we know a lot of people. We already lifted up one brother who lives in that culture. We all need to be sure that no matter our circumstances, no matter our abilities, no matter what paths God lays before us, that we are going, that we are bringing this good news. Because if you openly declare Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Mm-hmm. That's the best news that there has ever been. So we need to be wayfinders, just like Maui and just like Moana now. And then those two together and building and lifting up, what great picture of the church, our ancestors, our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Anything else, Brendan?
No, we got it. We got to move on.
Okay.
It is I.
A whoopsie splunker.
Nope, it's not a whoopsie splunkers.
No,
patron man. Saint Philip once again is going to take us down to King Philip's Stables of Doom.
He left a comment on the BFG Royal Family and Vulnerability. That's FCC episode 135. He says, "Hey guys, this was an interesting film."
I agree.
Oh yeah, a bit different than the typical fare we get nowadays for family viewing. I agree again. It's like a departure. I like its departure from contemporary movies, and I suppose we owe that much of that to Roald Dahl. I thought Ruby Barnhill, who played Sophie, carried the film very well and was probably the highlight for me. And Mark Rylance is great in anything he does. I particularly like the way he delivers dialogue in a reserved manner. Hey, that listeners, mull that one over.
Yes.
One thing I get is how the BFG found Sophie in the first place, which reminds me of 2 Chronicles 16:9, part A out of the nearly King James Version.
Almost.
The NKJV.
Got close.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Sophie had a good and tender heart, and the BFG was drawn to that. If we have a heart devoted to God, we can rely upon him to give us the support we require to do his work. Thanks for the show, guys. Hashtag MoeLadGimlet.
Excellent points, as always, Patron St. Philip. Thank you for chiming in. And listeners, we'll give you all the ways to contact us, just like Philip did here in just a moment. Brendan, should we do well-mannered frivolity?
Let's speed round it.
Okay, speed round.
Well-mannered frivolity.
Last night, I went and saw my son Micah in How to Succeed in Business Without Even Trying at the MAC, the Manchester Arts Center. Absolutely hilarious. Of course, you listeners on Thunder Radio are going to hear this show a week after it closed.
Sure.
So if you didn't go, you missed out. That was a great show.
Hey, Michael, I've lost 44 pounds.
Whoa! Have you been looking for it?
No.
No?
No, I've actually been wanting to.
Oh, okay.
At Aiken Elementary, the school that I work at, it's standardized testing week, which means I get to read Roald Dahl books while I proctor. and then on my signal, unleash Helen Keller.
Yeah!
That production's coming up in a couple weeks. Michael, what are we doing next week? We're doing Kubo and the Two Strings.
Hey!
But no matter what we do,
it's here. I'm Finding Christ in Cinema. We're live here, but not today, and we haven't alleviated that problem yet. Stay tuned next week, and maybe we'll have something to tell you. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at GCT.net. www.thepeacefulislandnetwork.com/donate now to witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational digital ministry, including all 136 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema and the list of films we've covered. Get over to our website at christincinema.com. Send us email to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN or the emergency backup line if the air got to it.
The air got to it.
At 507-407-4286. Now, let's say you just want to listen to the good old podcast.
I do.
You can go to iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play Music and search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
You are a sad, strange little man.
And you have my pity.
Yes. And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas,
The Theonauts!
And our super-duper Tolkien-centric show, The Secret Fire Podcast, get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
What's the word?
How absolutely squiffling.
And that is a wrap! You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission. This is your Great Commission transmission.